You are listening to Long Innings, brought to you by Cricket Next.
Hi, this is Supriya with you on Long Innings, brought to you by Cricket Next.
On this episode of Long Innings, we take a look at players in Tests and ODIs who won matches for their teams based on their individual brilliance.
The game of cricket is a team sport and every player needs to contribute for them to be successful. However, there are some players who are so good that their performances stand out even in a mediocre team and they carry their team just on the basis of their individual brilliance. While one player cannot be expected to shoulder the entire burden of a team, there are times when a genius can lift the entire team based on his individual performances and win laurels for his country. In this podcast, we look at six players in Tests and one player in ODIs who manfully toiled and won matches for the team based on their individual brilliance. Brian Lara. Lara was considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest, batsmen of his generation. He played in 131 Tests and scored 11,953 runs at a great average of 52.88 with 34 centuries and 48 50s. Assuming that each team has batsmen of reasonable capability from numbers 1 to 7, let us calculate the batting averages of the West Indian players from numbers 1 to 7 in the Tests in which Lara played, excluding Lara's batting average from those numbers. For the purpose of this analysis, we are only considering the 130 Tests Lara played for West Indies and excluding the one Test he played for ICC World 11. His batting average in the 130 Tests was 53.35. The combined averages of the other West Indian players who batted from positions 1 to 7, excluding Lara's own contribution, is 31.82. This shows how much ahead of his own teammates Lara was. In the Test series against Australia in the Caribbean in 1999, West Indies drew the series 2-2 just on the back of Lara's series tally of 546 runs at an average of 91 with 3 centuries. In the Test series in Sri Lanka in 2001, Lara scored an unbelievable 688 runs in 3 Tests at an average of 114.66 with 3 centuries. In spite of his individual brilliance, West Indies lost the series 3-0. He was, without doubt, a great player in a mediocre team. Richard Hadlee. Richard Hadlee is without doubt New Zealand's greatest ever cricketer and one of the greatest all-rounders of all time. He was in the team primarily for his bowling, but contributed even with the bat. He scored 3,124 runs in 86 Tests at an average of 27.16. If you consider the batting averages of numbers 1 to 7 in the Kiwi lineup in the Tests Hadlee played, excluding Hadlee's own runs, then the other batsmen averaged 26.54. This is incredible because he was an all-rounder, and therefore it is reasonable to expect the top-order batsmen to contribute and score more heavily than him. With the ball, Hadlee took 431 Test wickets at 22.29 and a bowling strike rate of 50.8. In Tests in which Hadlee played, the other Kiwi bowlers combined took 776 wickets at 37.04, which shows the extent to which he lifted the team. He took 35.7% of the wickets the Kiwi bowlers took in the Tests that he played. In the 86 Tests that Hadlee played, the Kiwis had a win-loss ratio of 0.79. Even though New Zealand has improved as a nation in recent times, their overall win-loss ratio in Tests without Hadlee over their entire history is 0.52. This shows that New Zealand's win-loss ratio is 51.92% better with Hadlee. Sunil Gavaskar. Gavaskar was without doubt one of the greatest openers of all time and India's first genuinely great batsman. He started off with a bang, scoring 774 runs in his debut series in the Caribbean in 1971. If we consider his first 62 Tests, the last of which started on 29th January 1980 against Pakistan, his batting average in these Tests was 56.74 with 23 centuries. Using the same exercise of considering the combined batting averages of Indian players from positions 1 to 7 in Tests played by Gavaskar from his debut till his 62nd Test and excluding Gavaskar's own runs, the other batsmen average a mere 31.9. The other batsmen scored a combined 26 centuries, whereas Gavaskar himself contributed 23 centuries. India's second most prolific run scorer in the Tests from Gavaskar's debut till his 62nd Test was Gundappa Vishwanath, who scored 1,652 runs lesser than Gavaskar, even though he played in one more Test. Till the late 1970s, Indian batsmen were considered timid players of fast bowling, but Gavaskar set an example by taking on the opposition quicks with courage. In India's second most famous fourth innings run chases in tests, Gavaskar made his mark on both occasions with centuries. In 1976, India were chasing 403 at Port of Spain when Gavaskar scored 102 to enable India to win by 6 wickets. In 1979 in England, India was set a target of 438 by England and came close, finishing their innings at 429 for 8, with Gavaskar scoring a valiant 221. If India's bowling had more teeth during Gavaskar's era, then he would have led the team to more victories. Shakib Al Hasan. Shakib is unarguably Bangladesh's greatest ever test cricketer, and if he had the fortune to play in a test team of any other country, excepting the Minnows, would have won even more accolades and recognition than he has. Bangladesh have only been playing test cricket for 18 years and have struggled to produce any other all-rounder even half as capable as Shakib. Shakib has played in 55 tests and scored 3,807 runs at an average of 39.65. With the ball, he has taken 205 wickets at a bowling average of 31.29. To put things in perspective, even if we apply a liberal cut-off of just 1,000 runs scored and 50 wickets taken in tests, only two cricketers from Bangladesh fulfilled this cut-off. The difference between Shakib's batting and bowling average, which is the usual yardstick by which an all-rounder's worth is measured, is 8.36, which is better than even all-time greats like Ian Botham, Kapil Dev and Richard Hadley. The other cricketer from Bangladesh who fulfills the above criteria is Mohammad Rafiq, and he has a negative differential of 22.18. This shows just how much, in terms of statistics, Shakib is ahead of his nearest Bangladeshi teammate. If we consider the runs scored in only batting positions 1-7, Shakib has scored 3,797 runs at an average of 40.39. The combined batting averages of the other batsmen from positions 1-7 in the 55 tests, excluding Shakib's numbers, are just 28.98. So, he averages nearly 12 runs more with the bat than his teammates. With the ball, his teammates have taken 508 wickets in tests played by him at an extremely poor average of 46.11. His bowling average is 15 runs better than his teammates. Perhaps the most telling statistic is that Bangladesh have 11 out of 55 tests played by Shakib, but just 2 out of 59 without him. He's definitely in the pantheon of great all-rounders. Andy Flower. Zimbabwe are a team that have produced just one great cricketer in their entire history. He played in 63 tests and scored 4,794 runs at an average of 51.54 with 12 centuries and 27 fifties. Andy Flower was so versatile that he averaged in excess of 50 with the bat, which is the yardstick by which great batsmen are judged, and he also scored 4,404 runs from 55 tests at a batting average of 53.7 with 12 centuries when he donned the wicket-keeping gloves. In fact, all his 12 centuries have come when he was a wicket-keeper. Many great players like Kumar Sangakkara and Alex Stewart gave up wicket-keeping to concentrate on their batting, but Flower could ill afford to do so because he was playing in a weak team. He has scored the most runs, most centuries, and has the highest batting average of any player in Zimbabwe's test history. Only his brother Grant Flower and Heath Streak have played more tests than him for Zimbabwe. Andy scored 4,786 runs at 51.46 batting from positions 3-7. If we consider the batting averages of his teammates from positions 1-7, excluding Flower's own contribution, then the combined batting averages of his teammates comes to 26.93. His batting average is nearly 100% better than his teammates combined. In a two-test series against India in 2000, he scored 540 runs in the series, averaging an incredible 270, and he was the only reason that India won the series by a margin of 1-0 as opposed to 2-0. Sometimes it is a pity that outstanding players in weak teams don't get to win more often because they don't get support from their teammates. Heath Streak. This may seem like a surprising entry on this list, but as they say, bowlers win matches. Zimbabwe's bowling attack has been so poor over the years that in their nearly 27-year history of tests, only 8 bowlers have taken a minimum of 50 test wickets. Streak played in 65 tests and took 216 wickets at an average of 28.14 and a bowling strike rate of 62.7. His bowling average is by far the best and is nearly 8 runs better than the bowling average of the second best bowler in this list. In the 65 tests played by Streak, the other bowlers from his team took 577 wickets at 42.52, which shows how much of the burden he shouldered and the way he uncomplainingly did the bulk of the bowling, taking 27.24% of the wickets. Without him, Zimbabwe would have struggled to dismiss the opposition even once, leave alone take 20 wickets. Streak was useful with the bat as well, scoring 1,990 runs from 65 tests at 22.35 with 1 century and 11 50s. In Zimbabwe's entire history, only two players have achieved the double of 1,000 test runs and 50 test wickets, and the difference in batting and bowling average of Streak's is nearly 8 runs better than Guy Whittall. After Andy Flower, he is definitely Zimbabwe's greatest cricketer. ODIs. Finally, we look at one player in ODIs who for the first 12 years of his career did not get any support from his teammates in ODIs. During the second half of his career, when India became an ODI powerhouse, Tendulkar had adequate support from players like Sourav Ganguly, Rahul Dravid, Virendra Sehwag and Yuvraj Singh. In the early part of his career, he pretty much waged a lone battle against the opposition bowlers. He made his ODI debut on 18th December 1989, and for the purpose of this analysis, we consider ODIs played by India until 31st December 2001. From 2002 onwards, India won the NatWest Trophy, the ICC Championship Trophy, and enjoyed a good run in the 2003 World Cup. There was a perception before 2002 that India struggled, especially while chasing targets. We are only considering matches in which India either won or lost, and ties and no results are not considered. India won 74 ODIs while chasing, in which Tendulkar was playing in this time period, and he scored 3,554 runs at an average of 67.05 and a strike rate of 92.72 with 13 centuries and 17 50s. The other batsmen combined scored just 8 centuries in these victorious matches. In the 61 ODIs which India lost, in which Tendulkar was playing in this period, he scored just 1,780 runs at an average of just 29.18 and a batting strike rate of 87.59 with just 1 century and 13 50s. In these 61 ODIs, the other batsmen scored a combined 6 centuries. While it is obvious that nearly every player will average more in victories than in losses, the difference in Tendulkar's stats when India won as opposed to when they lost is huge and does suggest that India tended to panic when chasing targets in that period when Tendulkar was dismissed cheaply. However, he still managed to ensure that India won more than they lost while chasing when he was in the team.
This podcast was brought to you by Cricket Next. Thanks for tuning in.